Razor, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How you doing?
I am outstanding. I have to ask you, have you ever karaoke'd?
No. I mean, nobody would even... Not that anyone wants to listen to anyone karaoke, but I suck.
Look, I always ask that because we had our second annual King or Queen of Karaoke contest where you get, like, some professional karaokers, and it's pretty good. Like, there are some really good performances.
I'm no professional. let me be very clear on this.
Okay. Okay. I was just curious.
You can't sing.
So basically you're saying that if you were in Edmonton next year at the time of our contest, you'd be there as a judge, not as a participant.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. If I was a participant, Jason, that would be your last year of it.
Okay. Well, you never know. You know, Struds went in it the first year and sang The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, and he did.
Oh, pretty good. You know what I could do? I could do Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Wow, hey.
Charlie Daniels fan. That was back in high school. That was a performance number for me. Let's
okay.
put it that way.
Nice. I like it. Well, one day if you're ever around, we'll have to get you in. That's great. Get you a special special entry into the contest. It's a lot of fun. We raise a lot of money. We have a great night. And don't worry, we do it at the bar, so everybody, you know, you have a few beers, it's way better. So
that's the only way to do it.
The Kings and the Blackhawks. We'll get to that series, of course, because you know what? This LA Kings team, just big and strong. They had the great comeback in Game 2 and then really just kind of slowly choked the Blackhawks out in Game 3. If you're the Hawks, Ray, what do you have to do different in Game 4?
Well, I will start with this. I think the one thing that gets missed with the Kings when people talk about, you know, because they are big, is how skilled they are. Like, they're not a bunch of plotters that can't move the puck. I mean, Jeff Carter's big. Guy can score goals. Andre Kopitar's big, one of the best two-way players in the National Hockey League. So your top two centers are big guys that can really move, can really control the puck. You add some young, skilled guys like Toffoli and Pearson, and then they add Marion Gaborik at the trade deadline. I think they've remade themselves a little bit, not just the big, strong, body Kings. They're much more skilled than people think. And that's really the challenge for Chicago, is that Chicago has to find a way to open up some ice so that their skill guys, Kane, Sharp, Hossa in particular, they can get some room. But if I'm looking at the Blackhawks, their power play better be a little bit better tonight. They're going to make a couple of changes on it. They're going to get Andrew Shaw in the net front where he played most of the season. Before he was hurt in the playoff. And then they're going to use Brent Seabrook on the point on their first unit with Duncan Keith. They're going to take Patrick Sharp off that group. And the reason I like that is that it becomes a simpler, more shot-oriented power play. I mean, Sharp loves to shoot the puck, and I think he had 313 shots this year. But Seabrook's a defenseman. Seabrook will be able to aid in their break-in into the zone. And when he gets it, he's going to shoot it. So I like the changes they've made. Will it be enough? I don't know. The other thing is they've got a gigantic hole in the middle of the ice at their number two center. So if you say Kopitar and Taves have played head-to-head and pretty well washed through this series, well, it's been a slam-dunk win for Carter, Toffoli, Pearson against Kane, Sharp, and Michael Hanzus. Hanzus can't play to that level game after game after game. He just can't.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joined us. And you know what? Right now, that 70s line is killing the Blackhawks. Jeff Carter, you know, with Toffoli and Pearson, two young, skilled forwards with Jeff Carter as a 40-goal scorer. And right now, the Hawks don't seem to have an answer for that trio.
No, they don't. There's a couple things with that line. Number one, Jeff Carter's a natural center. For a lot of years and a lot of time, he played on the right side with Mike Richards, and they formed a terrific partnership. But as Richards has struggled, they were looking for a way to get Toffoli and Pearson into the lineup together. And the way they could do that was they had to get Carter off the wing. So they moved Richards, I mean, down to the fourth spot. He still plays 15, 16 minutes a game, not a real traditional fourth-line center. You know, they move him around. He plays a power play, penalty kills. But Carter goes into the middle, And then they have two guys who the knock on both of them coming out of junior was, you know, would they be able to skate well enough? And they both worked really hard on their skating. They both were never in great shape. So as they, you know, finished their junior careers, they started to make a commitment to conditioning and to nutrition, and they found that they slimmed out a bit. And when they did that, lost some weight, they picked up a half a stride. And both of them are, they're both scorers. And for an LA team that, you know, was 22nd in the NHL in goals for during the regular season, they lead the league in the playoffs now in goals for, goals per game. And Toffoli and Pearson have given them balance to their lineup. In the last series, the only thing we talked about was Gabrick-Kopitar. Well, you're not talking about them now. You're talking about Carter and Pearson and Toffoli. And the Hawks can't get a handle on them right now. And it's the depth of Los Angeles that has been the difference. The depth and their power play have been the difference in a 2-1 lead for Chicago or the current 2-1 lead for L.A.
You talked about the Hawks' power play and the need to simplify it a little bit. How much of that is maybe the Kings' penalty killing doing something to force them to try to be too pretty? Or is it more so on the Hawks just passing too much?
Oh, I never think anything is one thing in the game. You know, I mean, like, people always look for one reason. Why did this team play so poorly? Well, maybe the other team, as you mentioned, had something to do with it. LA kills penalties extremely well. They're very committed to their system. They block shots well. They've got an excellent goaltender. They pressure up the ice, so they'll make you waste time as you're working your way up the ice. And so that plays a large part of it. Secondly, is from the Blackhawks' perspective, I find them way too stationary for the talent that they have. That puck should be moved quicker. It should be moved in shorter increments instead of these long side-to-side passes. The hash mark to hash mark pass looks awesome. Problem with it is by the time the puck gets there, 85 feet across the ice, everybody's already adjusted and moved. Too slow. That puck has to go half wall, middle, back to the half wall, into the guy in the high spot, back to the wall. Then you get a shot because you can't skate as fast as that. And so I find the Hawks, they at times get into a point where they're looking for this long 50-foot pass, 2-3 in a row, and then they're going to dunk it in the empty net. It might happen in the regular season because you play different teams every night, but when you're playing the same team over and over, they've scouted you down to what time you brush your teeth in the morning, and they know what you're going to do. So the Hawks have to make adjustments tonight, and I'm really curious to see what it might look like. Will they attempt or will they attack a little bit differently than they did in the first couple of games? Because their power play has been outplayed by the Kings' power play for sure.
Ray Farrar from TSN joins us. Ray, I'm sure you're watching the Eastern Conference, Montreal and the New York Rangers. And, you know, last night, Galchenyuk was literally half an inch away from scoring what probably would have been the, you know, his second straight game winner in New York. And that series goes back tied at two. That one goes off the inside of the post, stays out. New York ends up winning it in overtime. That's really how close that series is. But, you know, if you're the New York Rangers, you know, what did you make of all the penalties last night? Was it guys really overselling it? Is that going to come back to haunt Montreal, or does New York just flat out have to be more disciplined?
Well, I mean, I thought the Plekanec and Subban penalties were embellished. I think that was pretty clear for everybody to see. The last four or five penalties, though, they're penalties. Like, Brad Richards kicked the Montreal's defenseman's feet out behind the net. It's a penalty. Benoit Pouliot in overtime, like, how stupid can you be? He leads the NHL with seven penalties in the offensive zone in the playoffs. Like, seriously, seven. Like, you just can't do it. And the Rangers were damn lucky that Montreal's power play was as dreadful as it was. Because that game, the Rangers did everything to serve that thing up on a platter for Montreal, and Montreal's power play laid an egg. And that series easily could be 2-2. You know, you talk about the Galchenyuk bounce, and, you know, that kid can really shoot the puck. Oh, my gosh. He's going to be a real good player. He already is a good player, but he's going to be a really, really good player.
Yeah.
and he's a natural center who's going to end up in the middle of the ice, before his career is too much older. But it was the power play to me that really was Montreal's undoing. And it's funny, in both of these series, the power plays have, for as much as you say, oh, it's all about 5-on-5 in the playoffs, the power plays have played key parts of the storyline in both series.
Ray, I know you played in the Western Hockey League. I don't know how much, because of your gig right now, you're able to watch the Memorial Cup. But the new format, it's a unique tournament because you got to come out of 4 rounds of the best of 7 to win your league. Then you move on to the Memorial Cup that ultimately comes down to a 1-game showdown. Do you like the current formula the way it is?
I do. When I played in Portland, we won the Memorial Cup. Actually, Derek Laxdal was a teammate of mine. And then he got traded with me to Brandon in the summer. He was part of the 5 guys that went for one player. Blaine Kress was the player that went from Brandon to Portland. But the year that we hosted in Portland, that was the first year that the host team got a bye. And we lost the league final to Lethbridge. But by that point, it didn't matter because we were both going anyway, right? Lethbridge was going to go whether they won or not. And we were going to go because we were the host team. And so they tried, several different formulas to make it the most fair, to make it, you want the host team there, so you got the host team there. You've got, okay, well, wait a minute, the host team wins and somebody's off for 40 days. And it's a real imperfect formula. I don't mind it at all. It's hard as heck to win. And I'm sure for those kids that it's their real first extended playoff run, they must have thought that was like a marathon times 10. That's a lot of hockey to play just to get to the tournament.
Yeah.
And, we had one less round, and so it was a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a heck of a tournament, and the Edmonton Oil Kings, well-deserving of that. Henrik Samuelsson had himself a whale of a game, and as Edgar Skolba, I'm guessing, really improved his draft stock in this tournament.
Oh, he certainly didn't hurt himself, did he?
No. And I know Speck is proudly wearing his Latvian flag all over the place right now as a Latvian wins the MVP, undrafted Latvian to boot. So it was a heck of a tournament.
How long has Speck had that Latvian jersey in his drawer waiting for the glory?
Exactly. He brings it out about once a year, normally when he's doing fire jumping. That's normally the highlight of his Latvian year. But
I did not know that. Wow, this has been an informative.
We try to inform. Ray, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the broadcast tonight.
I will. You betcha. And we'll talk to you next week.
You betcha. Ray Ferraro from TSN.